Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and you all know how big a fan I am of horror. So imagine my delight when a documentary about Black history of horror was coming around, and I said, oh, these people have my attention now, especially in the wake of Get Out and the renewed interest in the classics from the 70s and earlier, which I had some knowledge of, but not really a deep feasting of. And this documentary, Horror Noir, which is based on the book of the same name by Dr. Robin Means Coleman, is a delight. And my guest today is one of the executive producers of that documentary and one of the literary horror influencers, I'm going to say, Tananarive Due. Welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Thank you for having me on.
Well, I've been a fan of yours for a very, very long time. I read My Soul to Keep when it first came out, and it kind of blew me away.
Wow. Well, thank you.
And
I know that one has been a fan favorite. I've been really, you know, that's often the one, you know, people really, really remember that one.
It was the first one that literally opened my eyes, because I'm like, wait, women can write horror? Wait, Black women can write horror? Wow, I just never considered that. And then when Get Out came out, it blew everyone's mind. And I remember reading that you were going to start a horror class about Get Out and the story and the symbolisms. And tell us how your research into creating the course led to this documentary.
Yeah, well, when I saw Get Out, I was blown away for all the reasons you just mentioned. And I said, I want to create a whole course. Or I discussed it a little bit in the course I was teaching, but I said, I want to create a whole course around Black horror. And because of Get Out, now I have a mechanism by which I can do that. You know, that'll be the linchpin for the whole course. So in doing research for that course, I came across this book called Horror Noir, Blacks in American Horror Films from the 1890s to Present by Robin R. Means Coleman. And when I tell you, I inhaled this book. I just, you know, so much great information, so many things I hadn't even thought of, so many things I agreed with wholeheartedly, but I'd never seen it in any official form. You know, it was just like, well, yeah, it's fine. You know, this is what I think too. So, you know, that was just exciting. And then once the course got off the ground, this was in the fall of 2017, I'm a big tweeter, so I was tweeting about it, and I heard from Monkey Paw Productions, which is Jordan Peele's production company, and the next thing I knew, he was DMing me. It would be funny if I surprised your class. And within weeks, that is exactly what happened. We snuck him in. He was wearing a hoodie and a baseball cap, and we snuck him in the back row of the classroom while the lights were down, and I was playing a scene from Get Out that really triggers everybody when Rose is swinging those car keys, and she says, you know, I can't give you those keys, babe. And the class is mad and talking to the screen. So then the lights go up and I said, who wants to tell me what the director was trying to say about coveting Black bodies? And he raised his hand in the back and said, oh, I have a question. And it was amazing. The class went wild. One student shot video. I was hearing from TMZ. I was like, what's going on? You know, that's not a typical day in the classroom for someone who's in academia. So it was just wild. But around all of this, you know, Universal brought him out officially a second time. The class actually became a part of the Oscar campaign.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was like, again, he talked about the class on Colbert. So I think in part because of my history as a writer, and in part because of this very public discussion around Black horror that was happening with that class, I was invited, and so grateful to be invited to be an executive producer the documentary Horror Noir for Shudder, which at that time, you know, Phil Nobile Jr. and Ashley Blackwell had already been pitching it for a year. And they finally got the green light the day after Jordan Peele won the Oscar, just to show you the impact. You know, and that's just one example. I know that there are other examples I don't even know about where people were telling the same story after this one, because finally people were taking Black horror seriously. I mean, I know from years of pitching, and I've been very fortunate as a writer. You mentioned My Soul to Keep. I mean, that book has been in and out of option more often than not, you know, since it was published. It's gotten very close a couple times, really, at Fox Searchlight. It got very, very close, but never quite there. And even more recently, within the past year, I'd optioned my short story collection to one of the old Big Three networks. Well, actually, not Big Three, but one of the before networks. And it's like just at the edge, right? And I think for a lot of people, Get Out is, especially if you're poised and you have the right script and you have the right connection, it's like, this is the moment you're getting your deal done. Someone is saying yes. Someone is giving you the green light. So it's such perfect timing, because at the same time, awareness of Black horror as a subgenre is even just beginning for some people. You know, like still, I would get the blank face in pitching, and I would get the blank face during interviews. Well, why does there even need to be a thing called Black horror? Are there any Black horror movies? Yeah, there's just that ongoing. And if you can think of a Black horror movie, especially in a pitching scenario before Get Out, it wasn't going to get you a deal. You know, there was nothing you were going to name that would make an executive say, oh, right, we're going to make so much money with that movie. Because it was like just blank faces. So what Get Out helped do was get rid of the blank faces. And hey, you know, it's one of the best kept secrets in Hollywood that Black people and Latinx people, but I'll address Black people, are overrepresented in box office receipts, especially for horror. They're overrepresented in the Nielsens. So theoretically, we could have had a whole lot of Black horror TV before now, or a whole lot of Black horror films before now, but we haven't. You know, we haven't. It's been really, really hard to get past the gatekeepers, to get past the kind of mentality in Hollywood, which is all about modeling what's just come before, which really leaves out new voices and new faces completely, right? So it took the muscle of Get Out to help more people see it. But even just today, I read that, the new Child's Play remake is going to star one of my favorite actors, a Black actor named Brian Tyree Henry from Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
as a detective. And there's a little very talented Black actress on Fox in The Passage.
Oh, yeah.
Basically carrying that is, I mean, what? So clearly Hollywood has gotten the memo, you know, and you could say, well, maybe it's a fad, except there are so many creators waiting in the wings. I mean, so much horror literature, Black horror literature that hasn't even been touched, that I don't think it can be reeled back in, or at least it can't be reeled back in to the degree that it has previously been reeled back in, like after the 90s, which were really rich for Black literature and Black film. And then it kind of went away for a while. And now it's back full force.
And that's why I was so happy to see how much of the history of Black horror films, or, you know, Blacks in horror films, was covered in this documentary. Because seeing Rachel True, seeing William Crane, I was like, whoa, they everybody. They had Keith David going on about The Thing, which was just wonderful. You needed a whole hour with those two, just those two alone.
I know. And yeah, as you mentioned all those names, I'm thinking I could watch an hour just with all those people. I'm so excited I got to talk to Ken Foree, you know, from Dawn of the Dead. And ask a question that I've been dying to ask about George A. Romero, and why, you know, this whole thing, Romero was so groundbreaking in casting Dwayne Jones and Night of the Living Dead. And then following it up, okay, one time you could say that's an accident, but I'm surely, like, the second time when you cast Ken Foree and he survives, Donna dead, it's like, what's he saying? What did he say to you? What did he tell you? And it's the same story. He said he got the same story, that it was just the best audition.
Now, in the making of this film, were there any surprises, any tidbits that you learned that you hadn't been aware of before that you were just wowed by?
I was in a state of wow pretty much all through the process. Unfortunately, I was traveling during much of the shoot, which is my biggest regret. I was able to go on set for a couple days, and that's where I got my chance to meet Keith David and to see Russell Cundiff and Ernest Dickerson and Ken Foree. That's just like from a couple visits, but there's so many people I missed the chance to see them shoot. And I would have just been there, you know, in a corner the whole time. So the whole thing for me was just a big surprise. It was like watching it come together. Phil Noble Jr. and Ashley Blackwell shopped it. And Danielle Burroughs co-wrote it with Ashley, and Xavier Bergen is the director. And they'd come up with this great concept where people were just sitting in a movie theater talking. And it hadn't even dawned on me till we were touring with it. Some people are saying that they were trying to sort of pay homage to that stereotype that Black people talk in the movie theater, which went completely over my head. But I think audiences are recognizing that about it. It's very laid back, and it's like you know. Yeah. So it's the right combination of personalities, beloved personalities in many cases, and also enough of like a relatively deep dive into that relationship between racial trauma and the images that we see of ourselves as Black people on the screen. And the ways that we've been mischaracterized in some cases and in ways that have lasted more than a century, I would say, when you look at a film like A Birth of a Nation and the power of that representation, but also the ways in which those individual actors tried to just claim their moments, even though they were working in an imperfect system, and also we as fans found ways to love and engage with projects, even though, I mean, we love it. I mean, yeah, it's a little problematic, but I still love it, you know, that kind of thing. So I just, I'm really, really excited about this documentary.
Yeah, I remember the first time I saw Tales from the Hood, I was just blown away by the crazy performance of Clarence Williams III. I'm like, this is awesome, because it reminded me of a role he played in an episode of Miami Vice, 10 years earlier? And just seeing that craziness grounded
in
this.
I remember the Mod Squad. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
I can top you on that one.
And just seeing the one in Tales from the Hood with the Corbin Burnson and the little dolls. Those dolls creeped me out for a year.
Yeah.
And just
watch out for those dolls.
That, and there was another film that came out on HBO around that, Cosmic Slop. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
George
Space Traders, yeah.
George Clinton's Cosmic Slop. And those two scenes, those two films, those two, the way they underplayed the trauma of colorism and acceptance, I never realized how much that stuck with me until I saw Get Out. And yeah, I was just realizing that I'm like, wait, this is, I've had that feeling for quite some time and I didn't realize it. But I am grateful that more people are open to talking about horror as it relates to whatever culture they grew up in. Because that's been ignored for far too long, as far as, you know, from my perspective. And just opening that up to share the fears and perceptions through mass media like books and movies. I hope it can help. Yeah, you know, then again, I'm a cynical optimist, which explains a lot of my brain.
No, I do think it helps. I mean, it doesn't always help in a straight line, as I guess President Obama has famously said, and I'm only remembering it because Jordan Peele did that impression of President Obama the last time he came to my class. I was thinking in my head, progress isn't a straight line. But anyway, it isn't, though. It isn't a straight line. But at the same time, you know, we're living in phew, to be cliched, such interesting times in the sense that half the time, as someone who pays attention to news and current events, I spend my time thinking, oh my gosh, you know, well, we're all going to die. You know, that's, we're saying that facetiously, but that feeling of just sort of like, oh, we're stuck in this, you know, just this pit. How do we get out? And it's like, in some ways, the most hopeless feeling in a while. But then on the other time, when you look at the arts and horror overall is doing great, black horror is doing better than ever. And really, there's just a lot of excitement in the arts, no matter what it is you love. If you love seeing women represented, if you love seeing Asians represented, it's like there are a lot of things happening right now where you're balancing that, oh, we're all gonna die, with what a time to be alive, which, you know, this back and forth that I'm constantly undergoing, you know. But it is what it is, and maybe we're in a place to better appreciate the art. But I also think it's just that opportunities have widened so much with all the extra venues, and filmmaking is less expensive than it used to be for a variety of reasons, including the iPhone camera. You know, it's just we're in this really exciting renaissance in genre, you know, all across genres, like fantasy and science fiction, but also, yay, horror. Horror is having its moment, and more people, especially through something like horror noir and other classes that other professors are teaching, not just me, where, you know, yes, this is a subject worthy of academic study in how trauma, racial trauma, if you want to make it gendered, sexual trauma, violence, how we can take all of the true life horror in the human experience and distill it down to these bite-sized pieces that help us heal.
Yeah, I like to think of horror stories, horror films, horror short films as a potential for people to have a cathartic release from some of the traumas that they're holding on to from horrors that were done to them. Sometimes, you know, if five or six people are sitting there and they see this thing happen on the screen that really happened to them, maybe that helps them let go a little bit and heal. And that can only be a good thing. And with the, like you said, the advent of the equipment being less expensive, people being able to go out and make films on their own, I think that's a way to help broaden the spectrum, because I, for one, am tired of remakes. I'm really, really tired of the remakes, and the bigger studios are only going to keep remaking things because that's safe money. So we have to turn to the independents for those out of the box science fiction stories, those out of the box horror stories, because the studios, unfortunately, who have the money to make some of these aren't doing so because they're afraid they won't get their money back.
Yeah, you know, I watch studio horror too. Horror is so big right now that even studio horror is good sometimes. But I agree with you. I remember back in the day, if I was excited about an upcoming horror movie, and if it was a studio movie, and especially if it had a celebrity as the star, like an A-list actor was starring in, it's like, oh, that's not going to be any good. And usually they weren't. You know, one of the things about horror, and shout out to indie, is you don't need stars. It's the story that's the star in a horror movie. And you don't sometimes need a big budget either. Sometimes the bigger the budget, the more bereft the imagination. You know, you're just relying on the same old tricks over and over again. Whereas independent filmmakers who have to scrape and hustle to get their story on screen are trying to talk about something that's real to them. And it's, if you're going to give up this much of your life, it better matter to you, right? So it's about something. It's about isolation. It's about survival. It's about loss. It's, you know, and I love indie horror. It's just one of the things about Shudder, and not to show the network, but I got Shudder in advance of this documentary to see what they had going on over there. And I've gotten sucked into movie after movie after movie from filmmakers I've never heard of, actors' faces I've never seen, all across the world. And it's, I love it.
Mm. Yeah, I was happy to find out that they were airing the reruns of Channel Zero, the anthology series that was on Sci-Fi Channel. And I was so disappointed to hear that Sci-Fi canceled that. I'm like, really? Dream Door was actually really cool.
It had some great image systems.
So you mentioned teaching a class on The Sunken Place. Do you have any other classes in American horror? Like, is someone teaching a class based on horror noir is what I'm asking.
Well, you know, I'm trying to remember now, is Dr. Coleman still in the classroom? I mean, her book is teaching people all across the country. There are other professors who teach horror, who teach black horror specifically. One thing that happened with all the publicity around The Sunken Place is that people started saying to me, oh, I wish I went to UCLA. I wish I could take your class. And my husband, Stephen Barnes, and I were like, well, and we're both teachers. I realized there was nothing to prevent us from creating a course just for the general public that's not affiliated with UCLA, that's not for credit, but nonetheless, you know, lectures, video lectures, homework, guest interviews, the way I would bring, you know, if I bring Jordan Peele into my classroom, I'll also bring Jordan Peele into this class via Skype, right? So that's what we did. We created an online version of The Sunken Place, which is films and literature. And anyone can take that course at www.sunkenplaceclass.com.
Awesome. I will have to check that one out, definitely. Because I had heard about the class, and I was also saying, darn, I'm not in California. I can't take the class.
Well, I really believe that virtual classrooms are the future. I've done virtual teaching, you know, through a couple of institutions where I wasn't there full time. Steve and I have done a lot of virtual teaching with webinar format. And it's just, you know, there's nothing like being able, in our case, you know, it's a digital download, so you can listen to it whenever. But even when there's a scheduled class, it doesn't matter if you're in Saudi Arabia or wherever you are, boom, you can. We did actually have a student in Saudi Arabia, which is why I bring that up. You can, even if it's 1 a.m. their time or whatever, they're going to be able to come to the live lecture, and there's really nothing like that.
Great. That sounds great. So tell our listeners where they can find you and Stephen online to explore more.
Yeah, so we have a life writing group for writers on Facebook. If you just put in one word, life writing, that's ours. But we teach The Sunken Place class at www.sunkenplaceclass.com. And for viewers who also like a little science fiction and fantasy, we also have a webinar, digital download class in Afrofuturism, which is www.afrofuturismwebinar.com.
Excellent. And of course, Horror Noir is airing now on Shudder, which you can get a 30-day trial just to try it out and see what else is on there. It's, if I remember correctly, $7.99 a month, or is it $5.99 a month?
Yes, I saw four, you know, I don't know anymore. There's a free 7-day trial for sure. If you have a code, there's a free 30-day trial. Maybe hashtag Women's History, Black Women's Horror. I mean, no, Women's Horror Month. I don't know what the hashtag is. Let me put the hashtag. But if you search around, if you look around the internet, you might be able to find a code to get a 30-day free trial. But the 7-day free trial is right there on the website.
Yes, and you can also follow Shudder on Twitter because they are very entertaining there as well.
And I'm telling you, if you like horror, it is really well curated. I did not want to start another streaming service and fully intended to let my 7-day trial expire. But I found I could not, because it's like, you know, what you want as a horror fan is that reliable curation. You know, some other streaming channels, I won't say which, are a little hit and miss.
Yes, but no, they've really done their homework, and I am glad for it. Well, Tananarive, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for talking to me. And I'm so glad you enjoyed Horror Noir.
I did. It was a wonderful dive. And if you can pass the word up the line when this becomes available on Blu-ray, another hour worth of interviews and behind-the-scenes stuff would be really awesome.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, I'll sell them.
Cool.
For sure.
Excellent. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Welcome to Tales of the Black Badge, a Wynonna Earp fan podcast. WynonnaEarpPodcast.com. Thanks again for checking in, and I hope you all take care.
Tales of the Black Badge, presented by Tuning Into Sci-Fi TV.
This is Stephen Kilpatrick, host of Tales to Terrify, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
I tried very hard not to get tongue-tied because, like I said, she is one of my author heroes from long, long ago. And sometimes you just have to take a breath and go, okay, we're good, and just let the conversation run. And that's just, I could talk for an hour with most of the people I interview, and she's one of the ones who I would love to just pick her brain about the classes she teaches, the stories she writes, the coaching she does for the writing webinar or the Facebook group. And I am happy that, as she did, discovering this book, I had no idea this book existed until I heard about her putting the class together. And I went, wait, what? So that book is on my list of things to get, but it's just not in my budget right now. But Horror Noir is playing on Shudder, and you can get a free 7-day trial to check it out. And the other programming on Shudder, you can, I think their current deal is $4.99 a month. Or if you buy for an entire year, it breaks down to $3.99 a month. You can also go to their website and check out their free content, which they have streaming 24/7. Look around, just preview some of what they have. And you can also look at the different series and movies collections that they have. I was recently surprised to find out that they have The Fades, which was a pretty cool show that was on BBC America for a while. Got canceled early because, A, it was horror. I wonder if they take suggestions, because there was another show that was on BBC America called Hex that I enjoyed. That could be horror adjacent enough. I'm going to poke around their website and see if they have a recommendations or suggestions box. Because now I'm curious. Anyway, you still have time to enter the contest that is currently running. Just go to the contact form on sliceofscifi.com. Fill out the message area with your details. Make sure in the message area that you have the key phrase, "We're gonna need a bigger boat." Yes, there is a joke behind why that phrase is there. But when you enter that phrase, you should see a new section magically appear underneath. It'll say Secret Contest Entry, and it will have a list of the four available prizes that you can choose. Those prizes are the Cloverfield Paradox on DVD, Happy Death Day, Happy Death Day to You, two-in-one novelization, the book Stranger Things, Worlds Turned Upside Down, which is a behind-the-scenes kind of thing, and the Voodoo Code for a digital copy of Rosemary's Baby. Those four entries, if those four prizes don't pop up after you've typed in the key phrase, then you didn't get the key phrase right. So make sure you enter your name and your email address properly, because if you don't give the right email address, I can't contact you to give you your prize if you've won. Make sure you fill everything out. You can put any message you want in the message box, but you have to have the phrase, "We're gonna need a bigger boat." Listen carefully. We're gonna need a bigger boat. Anyway, if you have any other questions or comments, you can use that same comment form. Just don't put in the key phrase. Or you can call our voicemail line. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can send me an email directly, summer@sliceofsci-fi.com. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, on TuneIn, and yeah, we're on Player FM. Who knew? So there's links there you can follow from the website. If you're listening on any of those other platforms and there is a way to leave a review for Slice of Sci-Fi, please do so. The more you leave us reviews, the more people know that we're a show worth checking out, and that helps everybody. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. You can check us out on YouTube and Facebook. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over there. And of course, there is the website, sliceofsci-fi.com, where you can comment on any of these shows. You can also weigh in on any of the movie reviews, television reviews that we have. And you can also weigh in with your own rating if you do not agree with the rating that we have. I'd like to thank everyone for your donations and pledges. Your support here does help keep the lights on, so to speak. If you would like to help support this show and the other shows that we have on this conglomerate of sci-fi geekiness, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi, or you can just use the paypal.me link for one-time donations every now and then. That link is paypal.me/sci-fi summer, and those links are also available in the show notes for this episode. I'd like to also throw a shout out to my favorite geek rock band, Sci-Fried, for providing the theme music for this show. You can find more excellent geek rock from them over at their website, sci-fried.com. But that'll do it for this episode. I'd like to thank everyone for listening, and we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.